couple of weeks ago when found out that I'd be doing the message this morning, right? I thought, well, you know, gee, Valentine's Day, right? What a great day. You know, we'll do the passage in Corinthians on love, and it's like everybody's going to smile and be happy. And, well, the Lord said, no. Wow. That's what I get for taking it to the Lord in prayer. I'm sorry?
Yeah, I know.
It's like the... And that's, so here's what the Lord gives me. Temptation. Oh, marvelous. A great subject that's going to make everybody happy. And that's so... Before we start, let's take a moment in prayer. Father God, I ask that you would speak through me this morning, Lord. That what I say would be true to your word, and nothing more, nothing less, nothing added, nothing subtracted, Lord, it'd be only you, Lord. Use me as a microphone. And Father, I ask too that as we hear your word and study your word, Lord, that those who need to be encouraged would be encouraged. Those that need to be convicted would be convicted, Lord. Use your word as a double-edged sword, Lord. Make us more like our Savior, your Son. In his name we pray. Amen. Okay, now, so that's what the Lord gives me. Now, if you Google temptation, and Chris, you want to hit the light? If you Google temptation, this is what you're going to get. Great group, you know, and it's Valentine's Day, so I got to say, my girl over here, but we don't go. Okay, but let's get into the real temptation. Okay, now, I thought I knew what temptation was before I started putting this message together, right? And because we've all been through temptations, right? Anybody here never been tempted? Now, come on. We've all been tempted. So we think we know what it is. Well, I was surprised at how much I learned putting this together. So learn with me this morning, okay? Let's start with some definitions, okay? I looked up two words, tempt and temptation, right? In tempt, there's two Hebrew words that are used. Nasah, which means to test, assay, prove, or try. And bakan, which means to test, especially metals. Now, the word assay, right, we don't use that word much unless you're in the jewelry industry, I don't think, in that. But, well, Rebecca, it's how much gold or is to prove what is really there. It's a test. It's an assessment. What's value? Yes, okay. Now, the Greek in the New Testament, again, they have two words. Epirazo, to test thoroughly, or pirazo, scrutinize, entice, discipline, examine. Now, for a temptation, the Hebrew is masah, a judicial testing of men, trial. Greek, pirasmos, a putting to proof, solicitation, provocation. Okay, now what I take from this, okay, is that temptation, what we think of a temptation today, is really a test to see where we are in our relationship to the Lord. Temptation, we think of it as something that we're drawn to, that we have a hard time resisting, right? What it really is a test of our relationship with the Lord. And I think that makes a big difference with how we handle temptation and whether we are overcoming it. Right? Now, there are two different kinds of temptation. Okay, the one kind comes from the Lord. Right? We're familiar with the passage in Genesis 22 where God tested Abraham. Right? He tells him to bring his son Isaac to be a sacrifice. Right? Now, I always looked at that passage and I go, I know what it was when I was in school, right? You guys do too, right? Why did the teacher give you a test? Because he or she wanted to know, did you know the material, right? Well, if God's the teacher in this example, he already knows how much of the material I know or I don't know, right? So why would he give us the test, right? So we would know how much of the material we know or don't know. And when we find that out, right, if we fail, right, we know where we need to strengthen our walk. If you fail a test, right, it underlines it. Hey, you need some help here. Pay attention here. Right? The example I've often used, a good general, right, he looks at his you know, perimeter, and he knows where the weaknesses are. And that's where he puts his additional resources. As believers, when we fail, that's where our weakness is. Let's bolster it. If we succeed, right, we know where we can count on, what we can count on, and who we can count on in the future. Think of Abraham, right? He takes Isaac up there, and God provides. Now, what did Abraham learn from that encounter? Right? He learned that to be obedient to the Lord meant that the Lord would be trustworthy, and the Lord would take care of Abraham, and he would keep his promise that Abraham's descendants would be like the sand. Right? He learned all of that from that test. Now, there's another kind of temptation, and this is the one that we tend to be more familiar with. Right? Satan tests us, but he tests us for an entirely different reason. Satan tests us so that we may sin and suffer. He wants us to struggle and to fall. Right? James 1 tells us, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. Right? The Lord tests us. He's not tempting us. 1 Peter tells us, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. This verse, and I quote it often, in that, a lion will look for the weak member of the herd. He will follow the herd. He will look for the one who's wounded, old, lame, not quite healthy. That's the one he will pounce on. And that's exactly the way the enemy works with us. You will be most tempted when you are weakest, when you are most vulnerable. Matthew 4 says, the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Right? The devil is a tempter. Right? He's a liar and he's a tempter. That's who he is. Right? Now let's look at some temptation facts. Right? One, everyone is going to be tempted. Right? The fact that you know Christ is your Savior doesn't exempt you from temptation. You're still going to be tempted. In fact, I would suggest that you will be tempted more often because you're a believer in Jesus. The enemy, you know, if you don't know Jesus and you're sinning on your own, enemy doesn't need to tempt you with anything. You're already doing the job yourself. He doesn't even want to get in the way. Right? Now, if you're trying to stand firm for the Lord, that's when he wants to tempt you. Right? Temptation proves that we need a Savior. Right? The fact that we are tempted by sin tells us that we are sinners and we need a Savior. Right? The cross shows us that temptation has been defeated. Amen. Right? Jesus said, it is finished. It is finished. So we know when we are being tempted that we don't have to succumb. It's not inevitable that we succumb and fall to temptation. Temptation has been beaten. We have a choice. It's up to us. And I look at that and I go, that is great news. Temptation is not an emotion. Right? In today's world, right? And Valentine's Day is probably a perfect day to say, right, you know, so much of it is about emotion. Oh, I feel I'm in love. And the same thing is true with temptation. Oh, I'm being tempted. It's pulling on my heartstrings or my desires. No. Temptation is not an emotion. It's a test. If you look at it as an emotion, you're much more likely to fail. If you look at it as a test, you're much more likely to see the truth, and the truth will set you free. Right? you and I get to choose what we do with temptation. One of the first things that comes up when we're tempted is a decision, how we're going to handle it. And I can tell you quite often, I hear from someone that says, oh, you know, I'm being tempted. There's this thing at work, and I think I'm going to cheat a little. You know, it's not really cheating that much in that, but it'll get me that promotion over my competitor. Right? And that person has already made a decision in their mind to succumb to the temptation. And one of the first things when we're tempted is to decide what we are going to do with it. Right. Temptation is a lie. Right. Even if you get what you think you want, it won't satisfy you. Right. Solomon proved that to us. Right. In the book of Ecclesiastes. Now Solomon, he had everything. He was the richest man in the world. Right? I don't know, what do you have, 300 wives and concubines? 700 and that. Right? He had, you know, more money than anybody could do. You know, people came from miles and miles around to see the wealth and the wisdom of Solomon. Right? Ecclesiastes, what does it tell us? Right? Chapter 2, I said to myself, come now, I will test you with pleasure to find out what is good. But that also proved to be meaningless. When I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. A chasing after the wind, nothing was gained under the sun. All right, he summed it up at the beginning. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. If you think what you're being tempted by is going to bring you happiness and satisfaction, learn from Solomon. Take the time to read Ecclesiastes. Right now, some temptations are easy to identify. You know, we think of things like, oh, you know, lust, greed. Those kind of things are easy for us to identify as temptations. Right? But the enemy, he tends to be a little sneaky. Right? And sometimes he will sneak up on us and tempt us with things that don't seem like they're obvious sin. Right? He will tempt our pride. Right? You know, I want you guys to think highly of me. Right? Would that cause me to do something that's ungodly? Oh. Right? I'm a self-reliant guy. Right? I want to prove to you that I'm capable of doing whatever it is. And that gossip. Right? Do good activities. Right? I'm convinced that there's times, and it happens most often to young believers, that the enemy will put good, godly things for them to do in their church and their body. And I've seen it, where they get so busy doing good that they don't have time anymore to spend time in the Word. They don't have time to spend time in prayer. They get disconnected from God. It becomes all about the task. So sometimes the enemy will sneak up on you. Right? Now, the Bible, you can go through every book of the Bible and you will find examples of temptation. Right? Everywhere. Right? The disciples, the prophets, right? Abraham, right? They're all tempted. Temptation is all through Scripture. But there's three that kind of tend to be, you know, above the rest, where we pay attention to them. And that, the first one is in Genesis 3, Adam and Eve. Right? We all know the story of Adam and Eve and how Satan tempted them to eat of the tree of life in the Garden of Eden. Genesis 22 is Abraham sacrificing Isaac. In Matthew 4, that's the story of where Satan tests Jesus. Now, we don't have time to go into all three of those passages this morning. So we're going to focus on Matthew. All right, so would you turn with me to Matthew 4, beginning with verse 1. Now, the reason I chose the Matthew passage as opposed to the others is two reasons. One, I like to learn from those who are successful rather than those who fail. Right? You learn how to do it, right? Makes sense. Well, you can learn how not to do it from those who fail, but then you still need to figure out how to do it. Right. Also, right, you know, we're told in the Great Commission to go make disciples. Well, I think that also tells us to go be disciples, right? And who is a disciple? A disciple is someone who becomes more like his teacher, more like his master, right? So if I want to become more like Jesus, when it comes to temptation, who better to learn from than Jesus? So let's look at the passage. Right, it starts in verse 1. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. We start with the first word, then. Right? Then points us back to chapter 3 of Matthew. Right, now, in chapter 3 of Matthew, Jesus is baptized. It's the beginning of his ministry. So God, before Jesus started ministering, wanted him to experience this temptation. So he would know it throughout his ministry. And we are all called to be ministers in one way or another. Not all called to be pastors, but we're all called to serve the Lord. Right? When you volunteer to serve the Lord, when you're obedient to what the Lord's called you to do, you will be tempted. Don't be surprised. It happens over and over again. And that is shame on us if we're not expecting it. Right? Notice here it says he was led by the Spirit. Right? The Lord led, through the Holy Spirit, led Jesus to the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. There was a purpose for it. The Lord allowed this. All right. And the temptation clearly comes from the devil. All right. This is not a godly test. This was temptation. All right. Verse 2 tells us that after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Now, I've done a little bit of studying, and from what I understand, if you go on a strict fast, no food at all, after 40 days, the body actually begins to consume. It's through consuming fat. It's through consuming extra energy sources. At that point, it starts to consume muscles and organs in an effort to stay alive. Okay, so if Jesus was fasting for 40 days, he is at his weakest physically. Okay? Notice, too, that he's not facing Satan as God. He's facing Satan as man in his weakened state. Okay? Also, too, if he was fasting for 40 days alone in the desert, he was in prayer for 40 days in the desert. He spent 40 days alone with the Lord. That's how he prepared for temptation. What's the message to us? If we're going to face temptation, and we all will, spend time here. Spend time on your knees. Or sitting down in your easy chair, as I do, and talk to the Lord. And listen to the Lord. Right? I don't spend 40 days at a time, I admit. In that, but I want time with the Lord every day. You should too. Right? Temptation won't wait. When the devil comes at you, you can't say, "I'm sorry, devil, come back tomorrow. I need to spend a little time in prayer with the Lord." All right, he's already attacking you. You need to be prayed up beforehand. Verse 3, right? The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." All right. Now, temptation is going to come in various forms. Right? Jesus, he's been in the desert 40 days fasting. Right? Satan says to him, look, you're hungry. Get something to eat. What's the big deal? Right? There's nothing sinful about eating. Right? The Lord wants us to nourish our bodies. Right? In fact, it tells us that he'll provide for our needs. Right? So what would be wrong with Jesus going along here? Right? Well, first, Satan wants to question our relationship with the Lord. He wants us to question our relationship with the Lord. Will the Lord provide the way I think I should be provided for? Will the Lord give me what I want? Right? Satan wants us to believe that God will not provide for us, that he is not our provider, that we need to provide for ourselves. If we ever believe that, then I'm responsible for everything. I'm on the throne. I'm not trusting the Lord. Right? Satan is asking Jesus to misuse his power. Could Jesus turn the stones into bread? Well, of course. Right? Look at the loaves and the fishes. Jesus could have provided a full banquet there. I mean, he didn't need to turn the stones into bread. He could have turned them into steaks. Right? Satan wanted him to misuse his power. Yes, Mark. Well, let me get you the... You're going to need to turn it on, Mark.
She go back to that other...
I can do that.
When Satan is testing Jesus, he says, turn the rocks into bread. He's testing Jesus the exact same way that he tested Eve and said, you won't die. He's saying, act independent of God the Father. Act upon your own will, not upon the will of God. And Jesus clearly says throughout his entire ministry, I came not to do my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. And he's attacking that right off the bat, to act independent of God the Father and act according to your own powers and abilities. And that's how he tempts us too.
Now Jesus, look at how he answers. It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Okay, right. Now, Jesus, he could have just banished the devil, right? He freed many, cast out many evil spirits in his ministry. He could have cast out Satan here. What he chose to do was to stand on Scripture. Right? Now, I mentioned before that temptation is going to come to us in many different forms. And when we're tempted, we're wise to go to Scripture. Now, I wish I could give you one verse and say, if you memorize this one verse, you will be well prepared to handle temptation. Truth is that there is no one verse that will do that. Because we're all tempted in different ways. One person's tempted to lust. The other one's tempted to greed. The other one's tempted to pride. The other one, whatever the temptation is, right? We're all tempted differently. And we need to go to the Scripture to see what the book says about that specific temptation, what we should do. Because whatever temptation you're facing, I can tell you now that there's a passage in Scripture. And I mentioned there's hundreds of examples of temptation. There are examples for you to follow in that for whatever the temptation is that you're dealing with. And that passage will prove to you that the Lord will give you a way out. Right? 1 Corinthians 10 tells us, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Right. Over and over, I've had people come to me, and Pastor Darren mentions it. You don't understand. Nobody else has ever been tempted this way. Baloney. Right? You're special in God's eyes, but you're not that unique that you created a new temptation that nobody else has had. But look at what it says, right? God is faithful, right? And he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. I remember years ago I heard a pastor say, you know, a sign that you see on a bridge, load limit, 8,000 pounds or whatever it is. You know, it's like the Lord knows what my load limit is. He knows what your load limit is. And he will not let the temptation go beyond what your load limit is. Know that. But that also denies the fact that you cannot stand up under the temptation. Right? Oh, Pastor, I can't handle this. I just can't handle this anymore. It's been too long. Yeah, well, I got news for you. You can. The Lord will provide a way out so that you can endure it. Let's go to verse 5, right? Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. That's estimated that high would be about 150 feet high. And now think about this, right? Jesus is standing on top of this, 150 feet high. That's got to gather a crowd around below. Look at that crazy rabbi fella. He's up there. I think that's the guy they call Jesus. He's up there on top of them. Can you imagine that? What's he going to do? Jesus takes a swan dive down. The angels catch him in midair, and he lands gracefully on the ground. You don't think that's going to cause a stir in Jerusalem? I mean, Jesus, he'll have people following him everywhere, right? Now, isn't that what he wants, right? He came to save the lost. I mean, what better crowd builder could you possibly have than this? Well, you know, so here, Satan is appealing to Jesus' desire to do good. Right? But there's a catch, right? He's misusing Scripture, right? And remember, well, let's look at the Scripture, right? Here's a passage in full that Satan is quoting. If you say, the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you, no disaster will come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Right, as we've learned in the past, this is one of those verses, if you do this, God will do that. Right, well, Satan only quoted the God will do that part. He skipped the if you do this part, and the if you do this part is the exact opposite of what he's asking Jesus to do. Right? If Jesus throws himself off that peak, he is not making the Most High his dwelling. He is not trusting in God. Satan is intentionally misusing Scripture. You may have some Scripture pop into your head when you're tempted. Right? I haven't had it happen to me, fortunately. I've heard of cases where somebody will cite Scripture as to why they think they should cheat on their spouse. Well, you know, they take some verse and it's a little, it's, you know, well, it says here that, you know, the Lord wants me to be happy. Lord wants me to be fulfilled. And it, well, you know, if something like that pops into your mind, please look up the passage. Look at it in context. Because if the enemy's quoting it to you and it would lead you to sin, I can tell you now, the context is not going to support what he's saying. Do not be fooled. Well, here's Jesus. Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test.
Question.
Yes. Mark, would you bring the microphone? Oh, it's already there. Oh, okay. Oh, wow. You guys are ahead of me. I love it.
You'll take control, huh? Okay. Two things. The first two times that he tempts him, he mm-hmm. says, if you're the Son of God, like as if Jesus needs to prove to Satan that he's the Son of God, you know, and that those ways that he's showing are the way, because those are both kind of like a magic-inspiring ways, you know, mm-hmm. not like being selfless or mm-hmm. the other things. So that's one part. Like, we don't need to prove ourselves in wrong ways. And then also him throwing himself off of the temple is just putting himself in danger. There's no good to come of it. It's just putting, it's like putting God to the test, right? So it reminds me of those people who, I don't know the name of them, but they take like snakes, venomous snakes, and, you know, the Lord says that if we, you know, follow him, then if a venomous snake bites us, we won't die. And they handle them for no reason. They just put themselves in the way of danger. And then if they do get bitten and die, then they're like, well, they weren't a true believer. We're glad that happened. Yep. So, like, none of that is the kind of stuff God wants us to do. He doesn't want us to, you know, God says he'll save me from anything, so let me run in front of a bus. That's completely contrary to what God says. So, I don't know. Like, that's, to me, that's the weirdest, like, temptation ever. Jump off this building. Why? Like, commit suicide, please. God'll save you.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. Satan knows full well that Jesus is the Son of God. Yes. He knows that. Right? He's trying to get Jesus to question his position. And that's what he does with us. In that. And it's true. The Lord doesn't need to pass a test. In that. Yeah, I got him, and I hear Rebecca. There's times I'm driving down, you know, Cortez or State Road 70, and I see some guy driving crazy, and he's got a fish on his back, and I'm hoping he's prayed up. Romans 5:8 tells us, right? God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. All right. The cross, that's the one and only test that the Lord needs to pass. He proved it on the cross on Calvary. There's no other test that God could possibly do that would top that or be more meaningful than that. Right? Now, the devil, sometimes the devil is going to use our friends against us. All right, and, you know, they'll say, well, yeah, you know, I know. You know, your husband's not giving you enough attention lately, you know, and he's really kind of a bum, and that, you know, for you to flirt with this guy at work, it's really okay. No harm done. It's just a little flirting. Right. Be careful where you get advice from when you're being tempted. And that unsaved people won't know how to give you good advice. All right. And quite often, people who are involved in a sin, they're happy if you join them because they don't feel so bad about themselves then because of the way they compare themselves. Right? Now, I know, and I hear too, you know, people say, oh, you know, well, Pastor D, he's real busy, and I know you're busy too. I hate to bother you with this little thing. Trust me. And I would much sooner get a call, text from anybody saying, I'm being tempted, how do I deal with it? Than wait till after you fall and say, yeah, well, I fell to this temptation and now I'm in this awful mess. How do I get out of it? And I would sooner take the first phone call. And I suspect that any serious believing, mature believer would rather do the same thing. Right? So be real careful who you get advice from. And that Proverbs tells us, my son, if sinful men entice you, do not give in to them. All right. To verse 8. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. All right. Satan is inviting Jesus to take a shortcut and avoid the cross. Many times in our lives, when we will be tempted to take a shortcut, we won't want to do the extra work, wait the years it takes to get a promotion. You won't want to do the studying to pass a test in school. We'll want to take a shortcut. And more often than not, that's the wrong way to go. Right? Now, Satan is saying that all Jesus had to do was to worship him. Right? Right? Now, that's what Satan always wants. Right? Isaiah 14, 13 and 14, right, says, I will be like the Most High. Satan wants us to worship him. When you're being tempted, Satan wants you to worship him or yourself. And if you worship yourself, you're really worshiping him. That's the truth. Right? Look, too, Satan makes big promises. I'm going to give you the whole world. Right? A lot of times, the promises that come to us, they're big promises. Right? I'm going to get that big promotion, you know, or I'm going to make that big score in the stock market. Right? Big things. I like big things, don't you? Right? But Satan can't deliver what he promises. He can't deliver what he promises. But more importantly than that, he never intended to deliver what he promises. He never intended. If Jesus had bent down to worship him, he would not have given Jesus the whole world. Because he wants the world to worship him. He would not give Jesus the whole world. He has no intention. If you fall to his temptation, you will not be satisfied. Even if you do get the thing that you want, it won't satisfy you. Then you're in the position of, well, okay, I guess I need just a little bit more. Or you feel condemned because you've fallen and you didn't get, you weren't satisfied anyway. It's like, oh man, I'm such a fool, I've fallen. Right? Right? Or you get to a point the way drug addicts do. It's like, well, this isn't enough, I need a little more. Maybe a little more. A little more. Right? It's fascinating about sin. Right? Most people don't fall from being an upright, good Christian person following the Lord to a super sin. It doesn't happen in one step. It happens one step at a time. The microphone?
Yep.
Elijah, would you bring it to Minnie, please? It doesn't happen once. It doesn't happen all in one big step, right? When we fall into a big sin, typically we start with a little sin, right? Something that doesn't seem that bad. It's just, I'm not being legalistic. I'm not one of those people that just, and that I'm going to just take a little bit of liberty here. And that leads above and above and above. Yes, Miss Lee.
Satan couldn't give him anything because God already owned everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Right. But, you know, what does Scripture tell us? Right. John 8:44. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth. There is no truth in him. No truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language. He is a liar and the father of lies. Right. Now, I don't know about you guys, right? You know, I've been in business for myself for 25 years. And I like to trust people. But if they lie to me once, I kind of look and go, yeah, you know what? I really don't want to deal with them anymore. And I know forgiveness, and that's a different issue. But Satan does not ever speak the truth. So why in the world would I listen to him or try to do business with him? What kind of dummy could I be when I keep listening to a spirit who lies to me every time he's ever spoken to me? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me 100 times? What am I, an idiot? Yes. Who said yes?
We all are.
She didn't understand that was a rhetorical question.
Tough crowd. And I'm tempted now, but I'm not going there. Okay, how did Jesus reply to him? Right. He says, away from me, Satan. For it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. We have, under Jesus' authority, the same right to tell the enemy to leave when we're being tempted. Okay? Now, quick spiritual warfare lesson. Okay? The Lord knows our thoughts. Okay? The Lord knows our thoughts. He doesn't have to hear us say anything. The devil cannot read our minds. What he does is watch what we do. Right? Now, when he sees me watching the collector car auction and drooling after that 58 blue Cadillac convertible with the white leather interior and white top. He knows my mind. He knows how to tempt me. Okay? I have the same right as Jesus does under his authority to tell the enemy to leave me alone. But I need to speak it out loud because he cannot read my mind. Also, just as Jesus says, worship the Lord your God, right? When I'm tempted, I will tell the enemy to leave, but I will also ask the Lord to guide me through and take the temptation away. Right. What does James 4 tell us? Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now that passage, a lot of times people quote the second half of that passage, resist the devil and he will flee. The first part, it's an if then. If you submit yourselves then to God and resist the devil, he will flee. The microphone to Stanley over here. Thank you, Elijah.
So I had a question. So when he made the angels, he made them a little under humans, right?
He made the angels under him.
Under him, but yeah. he said we were a little above the angels.
Okay, yeah, you and your point?
So therefore we have the power to tell
the devil. Well, we have the power over the demonic realm under Jesus' authority.
Yes.
Under his name, acting the way he would act, right. Not just the way we want, and that, but acting the way he would act.
Yeah, so we have that ability.
We have the authority over the demonic and that. Yes. And that. Now, having said that, there are things that we can do in our life, and that unforgiveness is a big one, and that will give the enemy an opening to attack us. It's like an open door, open window. And say, enemy, come on in. And in that case, we can command in Jesus' name, do whatever we want. And that. Okay. Right now, Satan wants us to worship either him or ourselves. Right? Look at Deuteronomy 5. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. Right? The Lord has brought, if you call Jesus your Savior, he's brought all of us out of the land of slavery. Mm-hmm. Right? I've come to set the captives free. We are those people only beyond. They weren't physical slavery. We were in spiritual slavery. Right? Ultimately, when you get down to it, temptation and even tests that come from the Lord, they're all about who is on the throne. That's what the test is really about. It may seem to be about whether you're greedy, whether you're this, whether you're that. It's all about who is on your throne of your life. Right now, sad to say, non-believers have no choice. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, please see me afterwards because you have no choice. You can fight sin, fight temptation, you're going to fall. You will not make it on your own. But as Christians, we have a choice. We can choose to submit to temptation or submit to God. All right. Then the devil left him and the angels came and attended him. The devil will leave you, but he'll come back. He's going to try again. One thing, I don't know, can you say you admire something about the devil? He's persistent. It's true. He's persistent. Okay, now last week, in 1 John 2, we covered this passage. We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. Right. So how do we overcome temptation? Right. This is a Cliff Notes version. First, we're prepared. We spend time with the Lord in his word and in prayer. We build our relationship with the Lord. Right. We recognize Satan's tools for what they are. Right. They're lies. They're deception. Right. We're not foolish enough to fall for them. We understand that temptations come in different forms. Some of them seem like feeding ourselves when we're hungry, like it's okay. We need to be alert in that because the enemy is a deceiver. Right? We recognize where we're weakest. If we fail the test or fall into temptation, we do something about shoring up that area. We spend time in Scripture studying passages that relate to that. We spend time in prayer with the Lord. You know, we talk to a pastor or a good brother or sister and ask them to help us, and that maybe an accountability person in that, so we grow stronger in those areas. Right? When temptation comes, we run to the Lord. We don't hide from him. You sometimes hear me say, you know, when trouble comes, be like a two-year-old and run and grab the Lord by his ankles. And that, run to the Lord. Right? We're careful with who gives us advice. The best advice when you're facing temptation is not at happy hour. And it ain't on Facebook either. Yeah, I heard of what. Yeah, Facebook is not your friend when you're facing temptation. I'm sorry.
Neither CNN.
Okay. Well, truthfully, media generally is not your friend. You know, I'm not saying there's not some good things on media. I'm not saying that, but you know, make sure who your sources are when you're seeking advice, when you're facing temptation. And then when we succeed, we celebrate what the Lord has done in our life. All right? We can celebrate. I know when I was in school, if I did well on a test, man, I was on top of the world. You know, but when we fail, we can go to the Lord, seek his forgiveness, right? And then prepare for a repeat exam, right? Unlike school, the Lord will give you a do-over. And you're wise to study for the makeup exam. Now, James 1 tells us, right, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then, after desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly heights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. I think it's, in some ways, it's interesting, right? You know, this is Valentine's Day, right? And as Neely pointed out, right, what does it tell us? God is love. Right. And God isn't some gooey kind of love that you know, that you can buy with a box of chocolates, you know, or a diamond ring. Yeah. And I'm not saying that, you know, you shouldn't do something nice for that special someone in your life, in that. But God has given us a gift that's beyond anything we could ever give on Valentine's Day. And the temptation question. It's a fairly simple one. who's on the throne? Do I love the Lord even a fraction as much as he loves me? Or do I love my own ways and pursue what the enemy puts in front of me that will not satisfy? That's the love story that we all need to decide. Natalie, do you have something you want to share? There you go.
Just to go back to people reaching out to you if they're tempted. You know, it's easier to keep a life together than to pick up all the pieces. And if they're really, really concerned about your time, then make that call beforehand. Because trust me, it takes a lot more time to clean up those pieces than just make that initial call.
Yeah. Do what Natalie says, for my sake. Pass it on to Mark.
There was no one universal scripture that would cover all temptations. Mm. But you know what? When I look at James 4:7, if we live there, that covers it. It says, submit therefore to God. You covered this earlier. Submit therefore to God. Mm-hmm. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. The question is, am I submitting to God, or am I standing in my own strength? That's it. That's the bottom line.
It is. I would add to it, though. There are times when, if say I was born extremely poor, right? My parents couldn't provide. And there were times that we went hungry, right? Or we were living in our car. And that makes it a whole lot easier for the enemy to trap me with greed. And it's a whole lot, I'm more likely to be successful if I study the passages about greed and the Lord's provision in that. So, yes, you're right. Ultimately, the Lord provides a way. We do beat the enemy. And that, but understanding why that temptation is attractive to us helps us defeat it. Okay, let's close in prayers. Will you stand with me, please? Oh, I'm sorry, Lester. You want a late arrival, Lester? Then we'll close.
So if we'll be honest with ourselves, we'll hear the Holy Spirit say, "Uh-uh,
yes,
the wrong way."
Yes.
So praise God for his Holy Spirit, which is holy and warns us ahead of time.
Okay, let's pray. Father God, I guess it seems strange to thank you that you allow temptations in our life, Lord. But they do show us where we're weak and show us where we're strong, where we've already learn to stand on your word and your love for us. Lord, I ask that you would encourage us, Lord, that you would convict us as necessary, Lord, that you would draw us closer to you, that as we face temptations, Lord, that as Lester just said, that the Holy Spirit would rise up within us and say, there's flashing yellow light here. Pay attention. Remember what I showed you in my word. And we thank you, Lord, that you've worked all these things out in advance for us, that your plans for us are for good. And we thank you, Lord. In the name of our Savior Jesus, all God's children said, amen. Amen.